The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
We spend so much time being angry at the world instead of taking the love steps Jesus taught us.
Coming up, Pastor Jack Hayford gives us his personal battle plan to unleash God's power and defeat evil.
Take a position right now in prayer. Instead of irritation with what you just saw, reach toward that setting. Prayer is a meltdown experience of our hearts before God.
Penetrating the Darkness, next on Life Today.
Hey, thank you. Thank all of you, and we welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I have our good friend Jack Hayford with us. Jack, I just asked him how many years ago I did the 50th anniversary for he and his wife, Anna. And it was 6 years ago, so 56 years they've been wonderfully together. Such a beautiful couple.
Well, yeah, indeed.
And I really am excited about a book that he has written that is called Penetrating the Darkness. It's amazing. As I began reading, it's like, well, it's obvious that Jack and I have been talking to the same person and praying and hearing the same things, because he's really talking about the imperative of the believer to pierce the darkness, to penetrate it, to be the light that's not covered, period. It's a bright light. And it's a light where people come together, but it is also a light that's piercing darkness with an understanding of the reality of spiritual warfare and kingdom reality. It's amazing, Betty. It was like Jack's just kind of been writing down what I wish I could write as well, and about what I'm hearing. I want you to welcome Jack Hayford, if you would, to Jack, good to see you.
Always.
Great to have you. I've been talking to our viewers on a very consistent basis about living in his presence, in the present,
right,
kingdom reality. We've tried to impress upon people's minds. Robert Morris and I have talked about the reality of spiritual warfare and about the battle that truly rages and the necessity of spiritual armor. In this book, you talk about the kingdom, but you also talk about the power of prayer. You even deal pretty specifically with a remarkable breakdown of intercession. I don't know which aspects of this marvelous book. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and put the website up, because here's what I'd like you to do. Now, Jack, for so many years, was pastor of Church on the Way, Van Nuys, California. Been there many times to preach. It's always been a privilege and honor. What a wonderful, beautiful people who just really, I feel like, represent Christ. And he also is the founder of the King's University. They have a seminary there that's just fabulous of study. I think that is growing. The website, if you'll access it, you'll only find where he is speaking, but also the pastor school that he has several times a year. And he'll tell us perhaps a little bit about it. But I want you to access it and also learn about the university, because I think it'd be meaningful. And you could request copies of the book for your friends or church. Touch on what is on your heart, Jack.
Well, of course, what's most on my heart with reference to that, James, but extending really very much into things that we have such deep mutual feelings about presently in our world. And I want to say something about the kingdom in just a moment, because I think the clarity on that is the essence of getting the real power of prayer. The subtitle to the book, Penetrating the Darkness, is Discovering the Unseen, Discovering the Power of the Cross Against Unseen Evil. And the primary objective was to strike that balanced note that the concept of spiritual warfare is not trying to somehow wrestle the adversary to the ground. We do wrestle against flesh and blood, but that wrestling is to enter into a triumph that's already been established and is appropriated or drawn down into earth level. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And it doesn't happen without prayer. It doesn't happen without presence of the life of Christ by Spirit and believers. And the discovery of the impact of prayer that stances itself in the face of the things that concern us all today. And I don't know of anybody who more effectively communicates the challenges we face today than you. That's not because I'm just your guest here. It's because I'm your friend for a long time. I know you well. And we've had personal correspondence on that subject that I wrote you, and I said I think that you are the essence of what true believing patriotism is in this day. That it is not about just waving a flag. It's understanding how to be a person in the life of the kingdom of the love of God, not in a religious sense. Nobody's more passionate about the Lord than you or me, and hopefully not seen as especially religious. Just guys that are living where the real is in the kingdom. And in that, in this book, James, coming to the place of recognizing when Jesus said the most prayed prayer in the world, which is probably last weekend, was uttered by how many hundreds of millions of people around the world? We have no idea. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. They almost uniformly are thinking of something abstract or something future or the millennium. And Jesus was saying, every day of your life, pray that and invoke what I can do through my power wherever I'm invited. And all of us face situations which need the presence of God, and that's why praying to penetrate the darkness is pointing the way to the practical application of that on a daily basis. So I appreciate the chance to talk about that.
You know, as I read the different references in the scripture that you referred to and pointed out, trying to understand this, when intercession, it seems to have some not only relevance today, but it seems to have a very appropriate application, if you understand it.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing, when intercession became alive to me, it has to do with an incident that took place on the third Wednesday night of November in 1973, when the world was young, and at least I was younger. And
I was just a kid.
But it changed the entire thrust and sense of our church's ministry. It didn't change it from being focused on the Word into some kind of pious prayer meeting in ad infinitum, but into a recognition of what prayer was. I won't go any further in that story. It's not essential to the point now. In that context, I came to understand first a definition of intercession that works, and then three things that'll dramatize it as clearly and simply as possible. And I think it's very possible. The first thing is the definition. To define intercession, we need to go to where the ultimate intercessor is introduced. And it's the last verse of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Because there, where in that great passage that depicts Jesus, the suffering Savior, the Messiah who came for us, it says that by that he made intercession for all of us. That is not the intercession he continues. It's the intercession he achieved at the cross. The intercession he continues, he wants to continue through his people. But the victory was achieved at the cross. What did he do? Intercession is to stand in the presence of God for people who either cannot or will not for themselves. And that is to take their place in the presence of God and say, Lord, this is what I am asking for, and I'm calling it into reality. Out of your kingdom, in the glory presence of the living God forever in heaven, into this world where you are looking for people who will steward the gifts that you have given us, the gospel with our witness, and the power of penetrating the darkness with our prayer. It is most effectively done when we recognize the moments God gives us. We may be watching something on TV that's it angers us. We're tempted to be angered out of self-righteousness and appropriate moral umbrage at something we see. But rather than getting ticked off, to see that as an intersection, all these words rhyme with intercession, an intersection point where the Lord says, this is a reminder to you. Now, this is a place you've intersected. Secondly, intervention. Take a position right now in prayer. Instead of irritation with what you just saw, reach toward that setting.
Absolutely.
What you see, perhaps it's the aftermath of what just happened in tornadoes recently or the tsunami in Japan. Reach your hand out, and rather than just feel, oh, that's horrible, say, Lord, I want to invoke your presence and your power
Absolutely.
There. Intervene in that situation. Mm-hmm. And by that means, from intersection to the point of intervention, it becomes interception. And both of us, as guys that enjoy sports, we all understand what interception is. It's when the hockey puck's coming down or the pass down the field, and somebody comes across and reverses the flow to change the direction things are going.
Like it to be my guy. Does the intercepting.
So there is the definition of intercession. And the pragmatism of it, first, the truth of it, that we are called to stand in situations where people cannot or will not for themselves. Especially when you recognize something, nobody's going to pray for them. That person that makes you so indignant with what you see of the way they're speaking in some public arena or what you read, instead of just becoming angry or irritating or saying, you know what I read today, and we spend so much time being angry at the world instead of taking the love steps Jesus taught us.
We don't really change the course. You
talked
about
don't.
The interception.
You don't intercept.
It actually changes the flow, and if we could see the power of prayer, intercessory prayer, we could actually change the flow. I have referenced it, and may have even done it when I was in your church because you proximity to Hollywood when you were in Van Nuys. I talked about rather than condemning the entertainment community, right. We need to really pray for them for all of that ability and talent to be used in a different way. That, in my opinion, is a proper interception.
But if all of us as children of God, we know Him personally, we all have this gift and this ability to intercede for those. And in that interceding, wouldn't we also be praying, God, let them come to the point where they can pray and have that relationship
Draw
with
them
you.
To yourself.
Yeah.
And He will do that. Mm-hmm. And He does it best. I often say to people, so many times people will spend their time criticizing the government, you know, making judgments about things that it's our privilege as citizens to decide and take action appropriately. Is a very different thing from being angry at any given administrator, leader, or whoever it may be, since city government all the way through to national government. And I cannot pray for somebody I'm mad at or who I'm sitting in judgmentalism on. I may evaluate things, especially in the place where I'm to take action within the stewardship of my privilege as a citizen. But I am a citizen of more than the United States. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And my citizenship there is where my greatest clout lies, and it lies when I pray with an open heart toward people.
When we pray for others, when we intercede for others, I know personally, I've always had things that God has done in my heart, too, as I'm praying for others. I mean, something really special takes place in my own heart.
Yes. Betty, you've touched probably the core of it, because there's no such thing as praying without the process of change taking place in us.
You know, when you were talking about that attitude toward the people you may disapprove, let's just say whether they're in political office, you and I come from two very diverse backgrounds, being what I would be always referred to as a rather conservative Baptist, evangelical, and you being a classic Pentecostal. You and I came together years ago with a heart harmony that was truly supernatural. Mm-hmm. The relationship we've enjoyed would have been very difficult, if not strained in the least, and perhaps impossible, had either one of us perceived that the other person despised us.
Yeah.
Had I come in displaying a despicable, you know, let's say having that attitude toward you, that you being that way, or just totally wrong, we could have never had harmony. This is exactly what prevails in much of the church. We have taken a point of disagreement or seeing anything different, which you and I've come to find out, that we see everything so in such a similar fashion that it's like we just grew up in the same home with the same father. And that's really pleasing to the Lord. I really believe that to penetrate the darkness and to intercede, We need to pray that that dividing wall will come down.
Amen.
And that that attitude will be changed. Jesus started with attitude
yes.
when he started the Sermon on the Mount. We need an attitude adjustment in our nation. The church should pray for that, but we should also display it. It should be on display.
Yes.
This is how we treat each other.
Holy Spirit-empowered prayer is the key. And wherever the Holy Spirit is working, He pours forth the love of God in our hearts. If there is any definition of how the power of the Holy Spirit works, it's not in some sensationalistic display. It's in the melting of our hearts toward people in the love of God and praying for them with that passion born of love, not the passion born of whatever differences are perceived in any environment. You mentioned a moment ago the when you were with us at the church on any number of occasions, and that you made an observation regarding Hollywood being, you know, just mm-hmm. over the hill from where we were, and so many people in our own church in the entertainment industry, which the majority of the people in the entertainment industry, nobody knows their name because they're the people making everything happen. They're not
right.
the stage personalities. But the Lord allowed us to penetrate that arena, which is a fairly dark arena.
Yes.
And it was because of prayer, but it manifests itself in love. Prayer is a meltdown experience of our hearts before God. And as that takes place, it opens up the dynamic of our prayer because of a love. So the blending of the power of God and the love of God, which really are basically one of the same thing.
Absolutely.
It is the essence of His nature.
Absolutely.
God is powerful and God is love. And that's there it goes.
But it so pierces the darkness that it actually penetrates their heart.
Yes, it does.
It actually opens it. It breaks up ground that has been totally unreceptive and never fruitful. It's amazing how that incredible love is the light that pierces the darkness. And I've watched it happen. And Jack, you do a beautiful job. He's written hundreds of hymns and praise songs. Majesty is one of the greats that all of us have sung. But he's written so many. What an incredible gift. And I don't know anyone that, in my opinion, has served more as an apostle to the whole church and the whole earth to really speak peace. No, there's no Pentecostal who makes more beautiful the reality and power of the power of Pentecost, biblical truth of the power of the Holy Spirit that is resident in the believer, becoming president, becoming the power flowing like a river. No one has, in my opinion, created, as he wrote years ago, a passion for fullness any more than Jack Hayford has. This book, Penetrating the Darkness, I was so thrilled. But like I said, when I started the program, I've spent more time now in prayer than any, let's say, particular aspect of my life in ministry. And in praying, I spend more time listening than I do talking. And as you know, I'm quite a talker. But in prayer, I spend more time listening. And the Lord has made it clear He likes to talk to me because He knows how much I like to hear Him. Well, as I began to read this book, it's like, well, Jack, you've just been sitting in the next room. You've been listening in on my conversations and what I'm hearing. No, we're just talking to the same Father. It's a great book, and we'd be happy to send it to you. Matter of fact, if you just help us do what God's put on our heart to do right now that Jack and Anna and really Church on the Way have helped us do for years. Why don't you just say thanks to Jack Hayford for being with us. Jack, I just thank you.
Thank
and
you.
I'm going to show our viewers something that is, you talk about interceding. As a matter of fact, I want you to look in right here. Betty and I were walking through a community, just kind of a village, and just on dirt roads. And I saw so many children that I just said, God, we want to bless them. But a little girl just kind of disappeared, walked by and disappeared, and I prayed, God, I want to share Your love with that little girl. Kind of something about her, maybe her brown eyes or something, reminded me of our daughters and our granddaughters. I want you to watch what happened when you just intercede and pray. Watch. Here's just an old, worn out shoe, but here's two pretty little feet that this wouldn't work for. Maybe it worked for somebody for a while, but this little girl needs shoes.
You know, James, I look around and I see all these just beautiful children, and I think it's not things we're trying to give them. It's life and shoes to put on their feet, because there's so many diseases. It comes from walking around when they're bare feet. They pick up so many things that get in their system, in their bloodstream, and just slowly destroys their little bodies. So it's a need that we're asking for. It's not just a luxury. They need our help.
It's not even comfort. It's a chance. And this is something I'm very excited about. It's something we can do together. We're going to get her some shoes.
Yes, we are.
Get her some nice shoes. These pretty feet, get all the dirt off of them. Man, the dirty feet. Clean them up. Are they ticklish? They're not ticklish? Are they too tough to be ticklish? Huh? They are, aren't they? You know, I just hope that you will do all you can to help us. Share life and opportunities, and a better future for children like this. You know, it's so easy to talk about the love of God and about how much God loves people, but it's a whole different thing to show them how much God loves them. A little girl like this, just out here in the middle of a remote village in Central America, feels very comfortable in the arms of love. Thanks for helping. Do all you can. In the name of love, for the glory of God. Ooh, I don't even know how that moves you, but I know how I prayed for that little girl when she literally disappeared into the distance. I said, God, I wanted so much to tell her how much you love her. And a few minutes later, she walked back my direction, and I just sat down in the road. This is before I had Betty come over and sit by me. I just sat down in the road, and a total stranger, never been in her ear before, she just walks over and gets in my lap. She crawled into the lap of love. That's what she did. And when I told her that we wanted to put some feet on, some shoes on some little feet, just a little bit larger than these tiny little shoes, I knew I could do it for one reason. Because you, who view life today, wherever you are, you would help us put God's arms of love around those children and put shoes on their feet. And I'm asking you to help us really get the resources in time to deliver these gifts, Betty, which is, for the children, it's a surprise. I mean, food's a surprise. Fresh water is just overwhelming to them. But they never, ever dream that somebody would give them something like a pair of shoes. And it keeps them from getting diseases, from hookworms and other problems. We want to give them to the children. We want to put in the hands of the missionaries something they can put on their feet. So right now we're giving shoes and smiles. And Betty, this amount of money is so simple. $36, 10 pairs of shoes, 72, 20 pairs of shoes for 20 children, $144, 40 children. To do cleft palate surgery, or where they have facial deformity, it averages $500, $1,000. Two smiles. So we call it Shoes and Smiles for Christmas.
What an opportunity. And, you know, this is some area of need that we can really make a difference. These children can use these shoes. Why? To protect their feet. They have enough challenges in their life with other areas and needs, but this can help protect their little feet from disease that they get from the cuts and the bruises and the scratches and all the things that are out there that they might step on, James, to hurt their feet. And then if you can give them a smile, oh my goodness, you heard the laughter of that little girl. What a joy to feel a need of a child. Won't you join with us and let's make the difference in their lives?
We need the resources now so we can have the shoes and smiles as a gift by Christmas. Would you simply dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check, please? Would you do it now? It's so we don't. I know some of you are praying, God, meet the need, but can you help meet the need? Can you be the answer to someone's prayer? Can you be the answer to that need? If you want to write a check, make it to Life. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you do it. We have some gifts that we want to send you. We want to bless you as you bless others. Thank you so much for making that call. If you get a busy now, you be persistent and call until you get through.
Poverty is a killer. And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pair, and a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request the inspirational new book, God Wants You to Be Happy, by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison. With your gift of $100 to help provide 28 pairs of shoes, you may request this beautifully crafted shoe ornament to place on your tree each Christmas. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Betty and I thank you so much for your help. Today, also, we'll be glad to send you Jack Haver's book, Penetrating the Darkness. And I know you appreciate Jack, and we appreciate your help. Would you join us?
Thank you, Jack.
Jack, thank you, buddy. And tell Anna and all the folks out there, there again, there's the website. You can always go on lifetoday.org and get all the information you want about how to find everything you want to know about Jack and about the university. God bless you. We love you.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. As America faces battles within, many wonder where to turn. In their new book, James Robison and Jay Richards call us to stand together before it's too late. As one nation, truly under God. Indivisible, the New York Times bestseller, now available in paperback at online and retail bookstores.
God, if you are speaking, I am a C student, and I need you to spell this out.
Hearing God in the midst of our everyday lives, tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.